طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our session number 31. Session number 31. And today, inshallah, we'll be reading from lesson 18. Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 1, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Before we begin with the new lesson for today, we're going to have a quick review of some of the previous lessons that we've taken. Just a couple of points, very, very important points of review from lesson number 5, related to Al-Idhafa, and lesson number 8, related to the ism ishara, the demonstrative pronoun that has a bedel, the bedel construction. And in that lesson also, lesson 8, we have the i'rab of the maqsoor, the ism maqsoor, yani the noun that ends with alif. That ends with alif, and due to that, we don't see the vowel changing on the end as the word, yani, changes its position in the sentence from being marfu'un to mansub to majroor. And the last thing that we want to cover is in lesson 9, yani the matters related to, or the rules related to, the na't and the man'ut, also known as sifa and mawsuf, yani the adjective and the rules related to it. Okay, so we want to start with that review first, and then we'll do the homework review sheet number 16, related to translating sentences into Arabic, beginning with a verb. And then after that, we're going to go into the new lesson, lesson number 18, English Key, Arabic Text, the exercises 1 through 6, and the vocabulary at the end of the lesson. Okay, so let's get started immediately with our quick review of lessons, yani of a few points, not all the points, but a couple of points in lesson 5, lesson 8, and lesson 9. So as far as lesson 5 is concerned, what we want to review in lesson 5 is what is known as al-idhafa, the idhafa construction, the construct phrase. And in this particular lesson contains 4 points. Primarily, we want to look at the first point, and we can add the second point because it's related to it, but mainly the first point, that is al-idhafa. If you look at, and you don't need to turn to the English key, but if you want to, you can look at lesson number 5, English Key, on page 12 primarily, and it continues on page 13. Here we will see what is known as the idhafa construction. This is a very important construction in the Arabic language. It's relatively simple, and there are three main matters that you want to look at in terms of the idhafa construction. Number one, it's constructed of two nouns. Okay, each of those nouns has a meaning on their own. The example they gave us is kitabu bilalin. Okay, so we have kitabun, that's one word, and then we have bilalun, that's another word. When we put them together, we see that some changes take place. Okay, so the first thing we want to notice is that there are two independent words which have their own meaning. Kitab, book, bilal, that's a man's name. But when we put them together to make this construct phrase, the meaning changes to the book of Bilal, or Bilal's book, the book of Bilal. Okay, so the first thing we want to know is that the construct phrase is composed of two words. The first of those words is called the mudhaf, and the second of those words is called the mudhafun ilayhi. They translate it as the possessed and the possessor. Okay, so the first word, the mudhaf, they call that the possessed, and the second word, the mudhafun ilayhi, they call it the possessor. Okay, so the book is possessed, and the possessor of the book is Bilal. Okay, two parts. The first part is the mudhaf. The second part is the mudhaf ilayhi. The second point that we want to note is that when they are constructed together, there are certain grammatical rules that are required to be observed. Okay, there are two matters that we want to look at in reference to the grammatical rules. The first matter is whether or not that word takes alif lam or tanween. And the second matter that we want to look at is what will be the i'rab of each of these words. Will it be marfu'un or mansub or majroor? These are the two matters that you want to be concerned about in reference to the idhafa construction. The first thing, does either of these words take alif lam or tanween? And the second matter is, what is going to be the i'rab of each of these two parts of the idalfa construction? Okay? So in reference to the first matter, alif, lam, and tanween, we say that the mudalf, the first part of the idalfa construction, never takes alif, lam, or tanween. Once you put it into this construct phrase, it never takes alif, lam, or tanween. And the second part of the idalfa construction must take either alif, lam, or tanween. Alright? So the two matters that we want to look at, in reference to the mudalf, yani, it never takes alif, lam, or tanween. The mudalf ilayhi must take either alif, lam, or tanween. So they're the opposite here. The second matter we want to look at is the i'rab, the case ending of each of these two words. So, in reference to the mudalf, the first part of the idalfa construction, it can have any case ending. It can take dhamma, kasra, or fatha. It can be marfu'un, majrurun, or mansubun. It can take any case ending depending on its function in the sentence. If it's the subject of the sentence or the predicate, it's going to be marfu'un with dhamma. If it's the object of a preposition, it's going to be majrurun with kasra. If it's the object of a verb or the ism of inna, then it's going to be mansub with fatha. So the first part of the idafa construction, the mudaf, it can take any case ending. It can be marfu'un, it can be mansub, it can be majrur. As far as the second part, it's always going to be majrur. Because the second part, the mudafun ilayhi, the rule, the grammatical rule related to a word that's mudaf ilayhi is that it's always majrur. And the primary sign of a word that's majrur is going to be kasra. Alright, so these are the two things we want to look at. Does it take alif, lam, or tanween? The first part never takes alif, lam, or tanween. The second part has to take either one of them. The second rule is in reference to i'rab. The first part can take any case ending, dhamma, kasra, or fatha. The second part is always going to be majrur. And the primary sign of being majrur is kasra. Alright, so that's what we want to say about the idalfa construction. The first part is called the mudalf. The second part is the mudalf ilahi. The rules related to the mudalf is that it never takes alif, lam, or tanween, but it can take any case ending. The mudalf ilayhi must take either alif, lam, or tanween, and it can only take the majrur case ending. It's always in the genitive case. The last thing that I want to mention concerning the mudalf and the mudalf ilayhi is that the meaning of this construction, the meaning of this construction is generally translated with the word of, like the book of Bilal. But you can translate it as Bilal's book. Or the house of the Imam. Although you can say the Imam's house. But it's generally translated with of. Okay? The second thing is that here, in the notes here, they said that the first part of the idalfa construction, the mudalf, is the possessed. And the second part, the mudalf ilayhi, is the possessor. This is in reference to an idalfa construction that shows possession. But not every idalfa construction shows possession. Sometimes the idalfa construction may indicate not possession, but something being a part of something else. Like the roof of the house, or the walls of the house, or the door of the house. Okay, that would be an idalfa construction. But it doesn't show possession. It shows that there's a relationship between the two things. One is a part of the other. Another meaning of the idalfa construction is in relations between people. The son of Muhammad, or the husband of Aisha, or the father of Ahmed. Yani this is also an idalfa construction. It doesn't show possession, but it shows relationship, that they are related to one another by some kind of relationship. There are other meanings for the idalfa construction. Those are some amongst the most common. Yani, that something is owned by someone, or something is a part of something else, or there's a relationship between people, yani parent, child, husband, wife, and so on like this. Okay, so the possessor and the possessed is not the only meaning of idalfa construction, but there are other meanings. What is important is that when you translate it, it's safe to say, to use the word of, the wife of, yani, Ahmed, the son of Muhammad, the father of, yani, Aisha, and so on. Yani, the book of the student, the house of the Imam. Yani, generally speaking, if you translate it with of, you'll be safe, although the meaning is not always going to be the possessed and the possessor. Okay, one other point that I want to make here. If you go back to your notes, yani, the English key on page 12 for lesson 5, you'll see everything that I said yani mentioned there. I'm just mentioning it in yani a fashion to help you to try to put everything together and be able to organize it. They also said in point C on page 12, they gave us the example of Kitabu Men. Yani whose book? Literally, the book of who? The book of who? Whose book? Note that men is not in Kitabu Men. Men is not in the genitive case because it is indeclinable. Yani in Arabic we say it is Mabniyun. That is indeclinable. Mabniyun means it does not change. Yani its ending does not change to indicate its function. We don't see it changing from Dhamma to Kasra to Fatha. There are certain indeclinable nouns in Arabic which remain unchanged. This is a very important point to keep in mind, that we said the mudhaf ilayhi, the second part of the idafa construction, is always majrur, and the primary sign of it being majrur is kasra, as in kitabu bilalin, as in baytu al-imami. Okay, but there are certain words in Arabic which are indeclinable. Yani we say in Arabic they are mabniyun, mean their ending is fixed. Yani they have a fixed ending. It could be sukun, it could be fatha, kasra, or dhamma, but it doesn't change to indicate its function. So, when it's marfu'un, it's not going to change to dhamma if it has sukun. When it's majrur, it's not going to change to, if it's the mudhaf ilayhi, for example, it's not going to change to kasra. These indeclinable words, their ending is fixed. That's why it's called in Arabic, literally, mabniyun means fixed. Okay? So, we must note this, that when you see an idafa construction with a word that you know is mabniyun, then its vowel is not going to change because it's the mudhafu ilayhi majrur. The last point that they make in reference to this idafa construction, they gave us another example on the bottom of the page, D, ala maktabi al-mudarrisi. Okay, this example is given to make us to understand that words being majrur in the genitive case, whose primary sign is kasra, have two causes. There are two reasons why a word may be majrur. In this expression here, they give us both examples of the two reasons why a word can be majrur. They said, ala maktabi al-mudarrisi. Note that maktab is in the genitive case, but because of the preposition ala, it's in the genitive case, it's majrur, with kasra, because it's the object of the preposition ala. Whereas al-mudarris is in the genitive case because it is mudafan ilayhi. Because maktabi, al-mudarrisi is an idafa construction, and al-mudarrisi is the mudaf ilayhi, the second part, and the second part of an idafa construction is always majrur. So they're showing us in this expression, ala maktabi al-mudarrisi, on the desk of the teacher, they're showing us that there are two reasons why a word can be majrur. One of them is maktab, because it's the object of a preposition, and the other one is al-mudarris, is because it's mudhafun ilayhi. These are the two primary reasons why a word may be majrur or in the genitive case, and the primary sign of that is kasra. The reason why I say the primary sign, because we will learn later on that there are also secondary signs for i'rab. Okay, that's what I wanted to mention. Or we can also go to page 13. One more point, tahta means under, the noun following tahta is in the genitive case. It is mudaf ilayhi. Tahta al-maktabi, under the desk. Tahta al-kitabi, under the book. The reason why I add this point two, is because in point two, they've given us an example of a dharf al-makan, tahta, yani an adverb of place. And what we want to say is, as we saw in future lessons, where we saw other adverbs of place, dharf al-makan, we see that the word following tahta, likewise the word following amama or khalfa, we see that the word following it is in the genitive case because it's mudhafun ilayhi. So what I'm saying here is that in this lesson number 5 we studied the idafa construction, and what they are telling us here is that adverbs of place are always used in an idafa construction. The adverb of place, tahta, underneath, amama, in front of, khalfa, behind. The adverb of place is always going to be the first part of an idafa construction. Therefore, the word following it is always mudhafun ilayhi majrur. Okay, that's what I wanted to say in reference to the idafa construction. Now we're going to just take a quick look, and I don't want to really spend too much time with this because we spent a lot of time on the Idalfa, but in any case, we'll just mention briefly, and maybe in the following week we'll look at a little bit more carefully the other points from Lesson 8 and 9. I'll just summarize in Lesson 8. Yani, they said on page 19, English key for Lesson 8, the first point deals with the ism al-ishara al-ladhi lahu badal. Yani, the ism ishara that has a badal. So we're looking at one type of badal construction. And they gave us two expressions here, hadha kitabun and hadha al-kitab. Okay, in the first one, kitabun has tanween, and in the second one, kitab has al-flam. So if you say hadha kitabun, this is a complete sentence. It's a jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar, subject and predicate. Hadha kitabun is a complete sentence. This is a book, kitabun. But if you add al-flam to the word kitab, and now it became hadha al-kitabu, this is no longer a complete sentence. Rather, in this case, the ism ishara, when it's followed by a noun that has alif lam, this is a badal construction. It means that hadha is the mubtada, and al-kitab is its badal, attached to it. And now we don't have a khabar, or a predicate. So now we have to complete the sentence by adding another word, such as hadha al-kitabu jadidun. Because hadha al-kitab means this book. That's not a sentence. But if we say hadha al-kitab jadidun, this book is new. Okay, this kind of construction, the badal construction with the ism ishara, can be used with any ism ishara, whether it's hadha or it's feminine hadhihi, or dhalika or it's feminine tilka, or even their plurals, ha'ulai and ulaika. Anytime you see an ism ishara followed by alif lam, this is what is known as a badal construction. And we have to pay attention to the difference between the ism ishara that's followed by a noun with tanween, as in hadha kitabun, this is a book, or the ism ishara that's followed by a noun with alif lam, hadha al-kitabu, this book. Okay, that's what I wanted to say about the badal construction here. And the last point that we wanted to make, just very, very briefly, in Lesson 9, Part A, on page 21, is yani, the relationship between the adjective and the noun that it qualifies. Yani, a noun that is being described by an adjective. And the example they gave us is baytun jadidun, a new house. And what we notice from that is that house came first, the word that's being qualified or described, and the adjective describing it came after it. So in Arabic, the adjective comes after the noun that it's describing, and also it follows it. It follows it in the sentence, and it also follows it in four important matters. Three of them we study in this lesson. We'll talk about them yani, in the future, but we'll just say that it has to agree with it in gender, in being masculine or feminine. It has to agree with it in yani, being definite or indefinite, with alif lam or tanween. And it has to agree with it in case ending, being marfu'un, majrurun, or mansubun. Okay, so we just summarized the adjective today because for the sake of time. But in the future, perhaps we'll go into it in a little more detail in another review at another time. So these are some of the things that when we are doing our weekly review on Mondays, these are some of the things that we should be going over and making sure that we understand them well. The next matter that we want to deal with is the weekly homework review sheet page 16. Okay, this particular homework review sheet is dealing with translation. Yani, translating sentences into Arabic using the verb. Okay, the verb that they used in this exercise is kharaja. It's one of the verbs that we had early on. Kharaja means to go out. Yani, to go outside of a place that you are inside of. Yani, as opposed to dhahaba, which means to go away. Yani, dhahaba means he went away. But if he was inside and went out, you don't say dhahaba, you say kharaja. Because he's inside a place, now he has exited from that place. So we don't say dhahaba, we say kharaja. The difference between dhahaba and kharaja is that dhahaba, he means he went from one place to another. Kharaja means he exited from the place that he was in. Okay, so they use the verb kharaja here on page 16. It says on the top of the page, kharaja. And then the instruction in Arabic says, tarajim. Yani, translate. Al-jumala al-atiyata, the following sentences. Ila al-lughati al-arabiyati, to Arabic language. Translate the following sentences into Arabic language. And then they have in parentheses in the English instruction, start each sentence with a verb. Okay, but this, the reason why they said this is because they want you to give a jumla fi'liya. Because we know that these sentences could be translated into a jumla ismiya, beginning with the ism, but they want us to begin with a noun to make it a jumla fi'liya. Okay, if the verb, if the sentence begins with a verb, it's a jumla fi'liya, verbal sentence. If it begins with a noun, it's a jumla ismiya, a nominal sentence. Okay, let's look at these eight sentences and let's try to translate them. Hopefully everybody has translated them correctly. The first sentence, number one, Hamid went out of the library. Notice, he didn't go away, he went out. He came out, he exited from the library. Hamid went out. So if we begin with the verb, kharaja, that's the fi'l. Who went out? Hamidun, that's the fa'il, marfoon with dhamma. And where did he go out of? Yani, min al-maktabati, out of the library. Kharaja, Hamidun, min al-maktabati. So we have the fi'l, kharaja, the fa'il, Hamidun. And then we have the is, yani the preposition followed by the object of the preposition. And harf ja followed by ism majroor. Kharaja Hamidun min al-maktabati. The next sentence. By the way, in this sentence, they only use three forms of the verb kharaja. They used kharaja huwa, yani the third person masculine singular, and they used kharajta, yani anta, kharajta, yani second person masculine singular, anta, and they used yani kharajtu, kharajtu, ana kharajtu, first person singular. So they only use three forms of the verb in this exercise. But of course we know that by now we have conjugated the entire conjugation of the past tense verb into its 10 forms, excluding the duals. Excluding the duals. So the first one was kharaja, and we'll see in the other sentences we'll see kharajtu and kharajta as well. Sentence number two. I went out of the market. Say, went out indicates that it has to be kharaja. I indicates that it has to be first person singular. And where did you go out of? The marketplace. Okay, so kharajtu min as-suqi. Kharajtu means I went out. Min as-suqi, of the market. Number three. When did you leave the mosque or masjid? O Khalid. And in Arabic we have to say O Khalid, right? Yeah. Yeah, Khalid. If we are addressing him directly. Okay, so in this sentence we're going to use the question word. Always the question word comes first. If you have any sentence that has a question word, mata, when, aina, where, kaifa, how, the question word always comes first. And if it's going to be a verbal sentence, then the verb immediately follows the question word. So when did you leave or go out of the masjid, O Khalid? Mata kharajta anta. Because I'm talking directly to an individual male, right? So it has to be second person, masculine, singular. Anta kharajta. Mata kharajta? Min al masjidi. Ya khalidu. Ya khalidu. Note that the word after ya and nida always takes a single dhamma, unless it's in idhafa. Ya khalidu. Otherwise, the masculine proper noun, khalid, takes tanween. Khalidun, Muhammadun, and so on. Mata kharajta min al-masjidi ya khalidu. Number four. He went out of the mosque. Yani third person masculine singular. Huwa. He went out of the mosque. Out of the masjid. Yani kharaja min al-masjidi. He went out of the masjid. Number five. When did you go out of the masjid? Bilal. Yani O Bilal. When did you go out of the masjid? Okay, we're talking to Bilal directly, so it has to be second person, masculine, singular. Yani anta, kharajta. Mata, when, kharajta, did you go out? Minadukkani, from the shop. Ya Bilalu, O Bilal. When did you go out of the shop? Addukkani, minadukkani, ya Bilalu. Number six. The boy went out of the playground. The boy went out of the playground. Okay, so we're going to use the verb first, and then we're going to give the boy, and then we're going to say, yani, out, yani, from the playground. So, kharaja is the fi'l. He went out. Who went out? Al-waladu, the boy. Kharaja, al-waladu. Kharaja is the fi'l, the verb. Al-waladu is the fa'il, the subject doer of the action, and the fa'il is always marfu'un with dhamma. Kharaja al-waladu min al-mal'abi. The boy went out of the playground. Number 7. I went out of the house. I is going to be first person singular of the verb form, right? Ana is going to be the verb form. Kharajtu. I went out of the house. Yani, kharajtu min al-bayti. I went out of the house. Number 8. When did you leave the imam's house? Muhammad. Yani, O Muhammad. When did you leave the imam's house? Okay, a couple of things we want to note here. When did you leave the imam's house, O Muhammad? That means I'm going to be addressing him directly. Ya Muhammad, right? So I'm going to use Ya Nida. And also the verb, because I'm addressing an individual male, directly it's going to be second person, masculine, and singular. Yani, kharajta. Anta kharajta. Okay, we're going to put the question word first. Question word always comes first. Mata kharajta min bayt al-imami ya Muhammadu. Mata kharajta min bayt al-imami ya Muhammadu. Okay, when did you go out from the house of the imam, O Muhammad? The other note that I want to make before we close here is the house of the imam or the imam's house. Yani, that's an idafa construction. Here we see that bayt has kasra. The first part of the idafa construction, the mudaf, can take any case ending. The reason why it has kasra here is because bayt is following a preposition, min. So it became majrur with kasra. And then al-imam is the second part of the construct phrase, mudhafun ilayhi. So for that reason, it's majrur. So these two words are both majrur, but bayt is majrur because it's the object of a preposition. And al-imami is majrur because it's the second part of an idafa construction, the mudhaf ilayhi. Alright, so this is the end of what we wanted to cover in terms of the weekly homework review sheet. Okay, after this, let's go into the new lesson directly now and see how much of this lesson we can cover in the time that remains. We have 1 hour, so inshallah, hopefully we'll be able to cover this lesson. It's not a very long lesson. Okay, the English key. Let's turn to the English key. We're going to start with that on page 49 and 50. And then we'll do the Arabic text, the exercises, and the vocabulary at the end of the lesson. Alright, so the English key, as I said, is on page 49 and 50. We're going to read from the English key. This particular lesson only has one grammatical point. I'm sorry, it has two grammatical points. It has two grammatical points, that's right. Excuse me. The first grammatical point is the core of the lesson, and that is, it's dealing with what's called the muthanna, or the dual. The dual, yani when there are two of something. So in Arabic, we'll see that there's singular, that's one. There's plural, that's three or more. If it's two, it's not plural, rather it's dual, muthanna. Alright, we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to see kam, the word that means how much or how many of something. When you're asking a question, and you want to know how much or how many of them it is. Okay, so top of page 49, lesson 18. In this lesson, we learn the following. Number one. And this is the core of the lesson, number one. And this number one has several points, yani three or four points that we're going to look at. Number one, the first point of number one is, unlike English, Arabic has three numbers, yani three number considerations, singular, plural, and dual. So in Arabic, a noun is either going to be singular, or it's going to be plural, or it's going to be dual. Yani in English, we have singular and plural. In Arabic, we have three number considerations, singular, dual, or plural. Dual refers to two. And more than two, yani three or more, is plural. The dual forms ends, the dual form ends in ani. For example, you take the word baytun, and if you want to make it dual, you're going to add the ending ani. Yani meaning, you're going to add fatta alif noon with kasra. So bayt, take off the tanween, and add fatta, alif, a, noon, kasra, ni, ani. So baytun becomes baytani. And yedun, if you take off the tanween and add fatta, alif, noon with kasra, became yadani. Okay, so this ani ending, this is when the dual word is marfu'un. But if it is mansub or majrur, we're going to see instead of ani, it's going to be aini. But in this lesson, or at least yani for the English key, we're not going to look at that particular matter. But in any case, I just want you to know that there are two endings for the dual. One is when it's marfu and it takes alif and noon. And if it's majrur or mansub, it takes ya and noon. Okay, so baytani is when it's marfu'un, baytaini is when it's majrur or mansub. Okay, so how do we change a noun from the singular form to the dual form? You take off the tanween and you add ani. So bayt becomes baytani, yed becomes yadani. Door becomes bab, becomes babani. Kitab, kitabani, and like this, so on. Okay, if it was a feminine word, then we're gonna yani remove the ta mabuta and make it a regular ta, and then add ani. So shajara became shajaratani, sayyara became sayyaratani. Okay, so the ta mabuta can only be at the end of a word, so we have to change it. If we're gonna add a suffix, we have to change it to ta maftuha, and then we add fatta alif noon with kasra. Okay, so this is the first point, how you formulate the dual from the singular form of a noun, yani by adding the ending fatta alif noon kasra ani. The second matter that we want to deal with in reference to duals is the ism ishara. Yani we had in lesson 1 and 2 and 6 and 7 the ism ishara, hadha and dhalika and hadhihi and tilka. We had those asma' al-ishara, and in lesson 13 we had the plurals, ha'ula and ula'ika. So now we want to look at the dual. We had the singulars and we had the plurals in lesson 13. Now we want to look at the dual form of the ism ishara, the demonstrative pronoun. So it says here, this is the second point of point number 1, the dual of hadha. And by the way, these points under number 1 are not numbered. There's just a bullet mark there just to indicate that there's a new point here. But in any case, this is the second point under the grammatical point number 1. The dual of hadha is hadhani. Notice that it has that ani ending. Hadha, hadhani. And the dual of hadhihi is hatani. Hatani. And it also has the fatta alif noon kasra ending. So, if you were pointing to something near, you use hadha for masculine and hadhihi for feminine. But if it's dual, near, then we use hadhani for masculine and hatani for feminine. So they gave us some examples. For example, hadhani, kitabani. These are two books. Yani these two are two books. Hadhani means you're pointing to two things which are near. Kitabani means that it's dual. They are two books. If it was something feminine, singular, you say hadhihi, sayyaratun. But if it's dual, you say hatani. These two feminine things which are near, sayyaratani, are two cars. Okay, sayyara. Notice that the ta before the ani addition is a regular open ta. Change from ta marbuta to ta maftuha, because ta marbuta can only be the last letter of a word. If you add a suffix to it, you have to change it from marbuta to maftuha, and then you can add the suffix. Okay? Now here, they didn't give us the duals for the ism ishara for things far, for dhalika and tilka, but I'll just make a note for you, and we'll study it in the future, that the dual for dhalika, if you're pointing to two things which are far and masculine, dhalika, you say dhanika, dhanika. Yani, dhal fatta alif, noon, kasra, kaf, fatta, dhanika. If you're pointing to two things which are far and they are feminine, yani tilka is for the singular, for the dual, we say tanika. Tanika, yani ta fatta alif, noon kasra, kaf fatta, yani tanika. So the duals for the pointing for the ism ishara for things which are far, for dhalika the dual is dhanika with dhal, dhanika. And the dual for tilka, feminine things which are far is tanika, tanika with ta. Okay, this is the second matter under point number one. The third matter is related to the damir, munfasul, yani the separate, yani pronouns. When they are in the position of being marfoon, yani the separate pronouns. The dual of huwa and hiya is huma, huma, yani. This is used for whether it's masculine or feminine. When you're referring to two things by the pronoun, if it is singular, masculine, you say huwa. If it is singular, feminine, you say hiya. But if it is dual, two of them, whether it's masculine or feminine, you use huma. Okay, and here they gave us some examples. Yani, the first one, who are these two boys? Men hadhani al-waladani. Hadhani al-waladani, these two boys. The answer, they are two new students. Huma, they are dual, talibani, jadidani. They are two new students. Notice that the adjective describing the dual word talibani, the adjective is also dual. The adjective is also dual. So, this should remind us, or this should make, we should make notice of this, that in Arabic, yani the adjective for aqil beings, the adjective, if it is describing a word that's singular, it has to be singular. If it's describing a word that's dual, it has to be dual. And if it's describing a word that's plural, it has to be plural. That's for aqil nouns. Okay? Because remember, we said the ghair aqil, when they become plural, then we treat them as though they are feminine singular. We had that in lesson 16 and 17. Okay, so again, examples that they gave us for the dual for huwa and hiya being huma, the two of them, huma talibani jadidani. Next question, aina al-ukhtani, where are the two sisters? Answer, they are in the room. Huma fi al-ghurfati. In my book, fi has a factor on the ya, that's a mistake. Yani, it should be fa kasra ya. Ya doesn't have a vowel. Yani, there's no vowel in fi. Okay, the ya is sakin with sukun. Huma fi al-ghurfati. If you join these two words together, the long vowel, whenever it's followed by hamzatul wasl, is pronounced like a long vowel, like a short vowel. So you say, instead of fi al-bayti, you say fil bayti. Huma, or here al-ghurfati, fil ghurfati. Huma fil ghurfati. They are, the two of them, the two sisters, are in the room. Okay, here it says, under that last sentence, it says, note that the adjective qualifying a dual noun is also dual, muthanna. It's also dual. Okay, so this is the third point, yani, that the damir for huwa and hiya, the dual is huma. After this, we go to a new point. Okay, so these are the three points related to the dual that we have here. We have the noun. To make it dual, you add ani. Bait, baitani. Yed, yadani. Sayyara, sayaratani. Shajara, shajaratani. The second matter, the dual, the ism ishara, dual, for hadha is hadhani, and for hadhihi, hatani. The third matter is, the dual for the pronouns huwa and hiya, he or she or it, because huwa and hiya can also refer to inanimate things, so it would be it. The dual for them is huma. Okay, the next point in this lesson, point number two, still on page 49, near the bottom of the page, is the word kam. Kaf, fatta, meem, with sukun. Kam, which means how many. Note that the noun following kam is singular and in the accusative case. Okay, it's singular. The noun following kam is going to be singular. Even though in English you might be saying how many books, how many cars. Okay, in English, books is going to be plural and cars is going to be plural. But in Arabic, the word that comes after kam, how many books, how many cars, that word after kam is going to be singular. And it's also going to be in the accusative case. It's going to be mansub. So it's going to be mufrad, singular, and it's going to be mansub, accusative. So for example, how many books? Kam kitaban. Okay, how many books? Books is going to be singular and mansub. And also notice that books, that there's an extra aleph after the fatatain. Yani there's an extra aleph. We're going to explain that in a minute. Okay, the second example, how many cars? Kam sayyaratan. How many cars? Cars in English is plural. In Arabic, it's going to be singular, sayyara. It's going to be singular, and it's going to be mansub. But notice here, kam sayyaratan, there's no aleph after the tanween. So it says, note, and this is a qaida, a rule. Note that a noun with tanween in the accusative case, when a noun has tanween, and it's in the accusative case, it's mansub, yani double fatha. It takes an aleph. There's an extra aleph added to any noun in the accusative case when it's mansub and it has fatatain, yani tanween, in the accusative case. It takes an extra aleph. And that aleph is not pronounced, yani, when you continue reading. But it is pronounced if you pause on it. And we study that in the primer book when we first were learning the alphabet. Okay, so what's the rule? The noun that has tanween and it's in the accusative case, mansub, takes an extra aleph. As in, kam kitaban. This aleph is not pronounced when you keep reading, in continual reading. But if you stop on it, then you pronounce it kitaba, as though it's fatah aleph, without tanween. Okay, so they give you examples. For example, a word when it has dhamma, two dhammas, tanween dhamma, kitabun, two kasras, kitabin, but two fatah, kitaban, that's when this extra aleph is going to be added to it. Okay, on page 50 it says, but a noun ending in the round ta, the ta marbuta, does not take this extra aleph. For example, double dhamma, sayyaratun. Double kasra, sayyaratin. Double fatha, sayyaratan. Here, there's no extra aleph added. So, the rule here is that when any word has tanween, and it's in the accusative case, it's mansub, so it takes a double fatha, that double fatha is going to be followed by an aleph, unless the word ends with a ta marbuta. There's another exception to this rule. If the word ends with a hamza, hamzatul qat, that is following an aleph. Yani there's already an aleph, and then there's hamzatul qat at the end of the word, as in sama'an. Yani the heaven, sama'an, the sky above. Or as in dawa'an, medicine. Or rida'an, the lower garment. Yani whenever a word ends with hamzatul qat on the line following an aleph, if it has tanween, yani fatha, in the accusative case, there won't be any extra aleph. These rules we studied in the primer book, so please go back to them if there's any confusion about this. Okay, so the second matter is the word kam. The word that follows it, when you're asking how many or how much of something, the word that follows it is going to be singular and it's going to be mansub. And generally speaking, it's going to take an aleph unless that word ends with ta marbuta. Okay, let's look at the vocabulary. On the bottom half of page 50, on the right-hand column, we can read down the right-hand column. The first word, as-sabburatu, yani with shadda on the seen, because it's a sun letter, and shadda on the ba as a part of that word. As-sabburatu means a writing board that you write on in the classroom. The second word, ar-riyalu, yani riyal is a form of currency in some of the Gulf countries, especially in Saudi Arabia, riyal. The third word, al-hayyu, with shadda on the ya at the end, al-hayyu means a city district or a neighborhood. The next word, ar-raka'atu, with sukoon on the calf, ar-raka'atu. Raka'a is a part of the salat, yani one unit of the prayer, such as, yani dhuhr has four units or four raka'at, and maghrib has three units or three raka'at. Okay, the plural of raka'a is raka'at, raka'atun, with fatha on the calf. So it says, note that the second letter, the calf, in the singular form, has sukoon, rak'atu. And in the plural, it has fatha, rak'at. Right, so please make a note, in the singular, ar-rak'atu, yani has sukoon on the calf, and in the plural, ar-rak'at, it has fatha on the calf. Okay, this is the end of the vocabulary. After this, we're going to look at the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson. Okay, so let's turn to the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson, 18, on page 100, and it continues short a little bit on the next page, 101. Arabic text. Okay, Yep. Okay, at the top of the page it says, الدرس الثامن الثامنة عشرة. Sorry. الدرس الثامنة عشرة. The 18th lesson. Okay, let's read and translate. And hopefully for homework, everybody already read this and wrote out its translation and wrote out the text to practice your handwriting. It's very important that you practice writing. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to do it unless you practice. Okay, at the top of the page, after the title, الدرس الثامن عشرة, it says المدرس. And in this lesson, we have the مدرس, and then we have some students, Muhammad and Hamid and Zakaria and Ibrahim and Ismail and Ali and Yunus. The مدرس says, كم أخن لك يا محمد. كم أخن لك يا محمد. How many brothers do you have, O Muhammad? Okay, and everybody should be on your own translating. Even if you wrote out the translation, practice with us without looking at what you wrote out. Practice trying to translate as we're reading through this. كم أخن لك يا محمد. How many brothers do you have, O Muhammad? Here I want to note that after the word كم, yani the word that follows it is going to be singular, akh, and it's going to be mansub, yani with fatatain, followed by an alif, extra alif, yani because of the fatatain. So a noun, yani that has tanween, and it's in the accusative case with two fatha, is going to always be followed by an alif, unless the word ends with ta, marbuta, or hamzat al-qat, following an alif already before it. The other thing I want to note that كم أخن لك, note he didn't say كم أخن عندك, because عند is used for things and not for people. كم أخن, يعني how many brothers, how many sisters, and so on, يعني you have to use لك, not عندك. كم أخن لك يا محمد. Muhammad answers, لي أخ واحد. I have one brother. أخٌ واحدٌ. Here we see the نعت and منعوت relationship. أخ is masculine. واحدٌ is masculine. أخ is taking تنوين singular, indefinite. And واحدٌ is also taking تنوين indefinite. أخ is مرفوعٌ. And واحدٌ is مرفوعٌ. And the fourth matter, of course, we didn't deal with in our lesson so far, but أخ is singular and واحدٌ is singular also. It's not dual, it's not plural. Okay, المدرس, he says, وَكَمْ أُخْتًا لَكَ. And how many? أُخْت. How many sisters do you have? Again, not كَمْ أُخْتًا عَنْدَكَ. كَمْ أُخْتًا لَكَ. أُخْتًا is the word following كَمْ. By the way, this word is not mentioned in the English key, but the word following كَمْ is called, it's تَمْيِيز. تَمْيِيز. It means the word that distinguishes what you're asking about, how many or how much. How many? What? How many brothers? How many sisters? How many cars? How many keys? That word is called تمييز. And the تمييز of كم is always going to be مفرد, singular, and منسوب, accusative case. كم أختن لك؟ Muhammad says, لي, not عندي, لي أختاني. This is the dual of أخت. Add أني, أخت, أختاني. I have two sisters. The teacher says, كم عجلة للدراجة يا حامد؟ كم عجلة؟ How many wheels are there for a bicycle or the bicycle? للدراجة. يعني in this word للدراجة, the del has شدة because it's a sun letter, and the ra has شدة because it's a part of that word. الدراجة. كم عجلة للدراجة يا حامد؟ How many wheels does the bicycle have, O Hamid? Hamid says, لها, يعني للدراجة, the ها is referring back to bicycle, which is feminine. لها, it has عجلتان. Notice that the word عجلتان, its original singular form is عجلة with تا مربوطة. The تا مربوطة can only be the last letter of a word, so when you add a suffix to that word, you have to change it to a regular open تا. So عجلتاني is written with a regular تا with the suffix added "ani." عجلتاني. It has, يعني the bicycle has, two wheels. The teacher says, كم عيدا, كم عيدا في السنة يا زكريا. زكريا has the ya near the end. The ya has شدة. زكريا. How many Eids? يعني Eid meaning Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr, يعني celebrations. Days of celebration. كم عيدا. Again, عيدا. The tamyiz for كم is going to be singular and منسوب. And that double tanween is going to be followed by an alif. Unless the word ends with تا مربوطة, as in the previous sentence, كم عجلة. Notice that عجلة is the tamyiz, it's singular, it's منسوب. But the double tan, the double fatha does not have an alif because the word is ending with تا مربوطة. You can't add an alif after تا مربوطة because remember تا مربوطة is always the last letter of a word. Okay, so كم عيدا في السنة يا زكريا. How many Eids are there in the year, O زكريا. زكريا says في السنة عيداني. In the year there are two Eids. عيد عيداني. هما, the two of them, the two Eids, هما عيد الفطر وعيد الأضحى. They are the Eid of Fitr, يعني after Ramadan, Eid al-Adha, after Hajj. The مدرس, or during Hajj. The مدرس, يعني after the day of Arafat. The مدرس says, يا إبراهيم, O Ibrahim, أبوك تاجر كبير. Your father is a big merchant. تاجر كبير, not in منعوت. كم متجرا, متجرا. How many stores or shops عنده does he have? Notice he didn't say كم متجرا له, but he said عنده. كم متجرا عنده. How many shops does he have? Ibrahim says عنده متجراني كبيراني. He has two big stores. Notice that the adjective كبيراني has to be dual because the adjective describing a dual word, a مثنى word, the adjective also has to be dual. عنده متجراني كبيراني. The teacher says, كم نافذة في غرفتك يا إسماعيل. How many نافذة, how many windows are in غرفتك, your room, O إسماعيل. Notice that the tamyiz of كم here, نافذة, is singular and it's منسوب with فتح, and the two فتح here are not followed by an alif because this word ends with تا مربوطة. كم نافذة, how many windows are in your room, O Ismail. Ismail says, فيها. Ha is referring back to نافذة, which is feminine, right? فيها نافذتان. فيها نافذتان. In it, يعني in the room, my room, are نافذتان. Notice that نافذة ends with تا مربوطة. So when we make it dual, the تا مربوطة becomes a regular open تا, and then we add آني. نافذتان. In it are two windows. The teacher says, لِمَنْ هَذَانِ أَدَّفْتَرَانِ. To whom belongs these two notebooks? هَذَانِ أَدَّفْتَرَانِ. Notice that the dual of هَذَا is هَذَانِ. يعني for something masculine, and هَتَانِ for something feminine. Ali says, هُمَا, يعني the two notebooks, هُمَا, the two of them, لي, belong to me. The two of them belong to me. Turn to page 101, finish this dialogue. The teacher says at the top of page 101, لِمَنْ هَتَانِ الْمِصْطَرَتَانِ. الْمِصْطَرَتَانِ. لِمَنْ هَتَانِ الْمِصْطَرَتَانِ. To whom belong these two rulers? مِصْطَرَة. Yani mastara is a ruler. To whom belong these two rulers? Notice that mastara, yani it's an original form, singular form, ends with ta marbuta. Here the ta marbuta becomes ta maftuha. We add ani, becomes mastara tani. Mastara is feminine. That's why we're saying hatani instead of hadani. Liman hatani al mastara tani. To whom belong these two rulers? Yunus says, huma, the two of them, li, belong to me. Notice that huma is used for the dual for feminine words like mistara, as well as masculine words like daftara. Okay, so when you use the dual for dafta, which is masculine, or mistara, which is feminine, yani mistaratani and daftarani, huma, the dual pronoun is used for both masculine and feminine. Okay, let's look at the first exercise on page 101. By the way, this dialogue here is making us to see, yani, the use of the noun being converted from its singular form to dual form by adding ani, and it's also showing us, yani, the ism ishara, its dual form for hadha is hadhani, and for hadhihi is hatani, and it's also showing us the dhamir, the pronoun for huwa and here, third person singular huwa and here. If we want to change it to dual, it becomes huma, which is used both for masculine and feminine. Alright, let's look at the first exercise. There are 11 sentences. The instruction says, under tamarinu, yani exercises, it says, ajib anil as'ilati al-atiyati مُسْتَعْمِلًا الْمُثَنَّ. يعني the word الْمُثَنَّ has a شَدَّ on the noon in the word مُثَنَّ. الْمُثَنَّ. And then it's followed by أَلْفْ مَكْسُورَةً, يعني written like a ya at the end of the word without its two dots. Okay, الْمُثَنَّ means the dual. يعني it means a noun that represents two of something. يعني كِتَابَانِ, two books. قَلَمَانِ, two pens. Darsani, two lessons, and so on, like this. Dual, al-muthanna. So, answer concerning the following questions. Musta'amilan, using al-muthanna, using the dual form of the word. So, the first question. Kam qalaman indaka? Again, I want to note, qalaman is the tamyiz of kam. It's going to be singular. It's not going to be aklam, the plural. It's going to be singular word, and it's going to be mansoob. And if it doesn't end with tarmabuta, we're going to see the tanween that indicated being mansub. We're going to see that tanween being followed by alif. The alif is not pronounced. If you can keep reading, you just pronounce the tanween, qalaman. But if you stop on it, you're going to read it as though there's no tanween. You're going to read it as though it's fatta alif. Qalama. That's if you stop on it. All right. Especially if you're reading Quran and you stop on a word that ends with this, fatatain, that has alif. And if you stop on it, you're not going to read the tanween, you're going to read fatta alif. Okay, the first question. Kam qalaman indaka? Kam qalaman indaka? The answer, yani, indi qalamani. Indi qalamani. Yani, I have two pens. Qalamani. The second question, going across. Second question. Kam kitaban indaka? Notice that kitab is singular and it's mansub followed by alif. Kam kitaban indaka. How many books do you have? Answer, indi, I have kitabani. Kitabani. Kitab, kitabani. I have two books. Number three. Kam saburatan. Saburatan. How many writing boards fi faslikum are in you all's classroom? Yani you, plural. How many writing boards are in your classroom, plural? Okay, notice that sabura, the tamyiz of kam, is singular and it's mansub, but because it ends with tarabuti, there's no extra alif. Kam saburatan fi faslikum. How many writing boards are in your classroom? Answer, fi faslina, in our classroom are saburatan, saburatani. There are two writing boards. Number four, kam riyalan, going across, kam riyalan indaki al-ana ya layla. Indaki, we change it from ka to ki because what? We're speaking to an individual female. Ya layla, that's the name of a female. Kam riyalan indaki al-ana ya layla. How many riyals do you have right now, O layla? This is not a stick-up. I'm just going to borrow some money from you. Kam riyalan indaki al-ana ya layla. How many riyals do you have right now, O layla? Then she answers, indi al-ana riyalani. Indi al-ana, I have right now only riyalani, two riyals. One for you can have one, and one for me. Number five. Kam ukhtan laka ya aliyu. Kam ukhtan laka ya aliyu. How many ukht, how many sisters do you have, O Ali? Answer, li, because I'm talking about sisters, right? Li ukhtani, ukhtani. I have two sisters. Number six, going across. Kam amman laki ya aminatu. Kam am, yani am means your father's brother, uncle, paternal uncle, uncle from the father's side. Kam amman laki ya aminatu. How many paternal uncles do you have, O Amina? Li ammani, ammani. I have two paternal uncles. Number seven. Kam sadiqan laka ya Muhammadu. Sadiqan means your friend. How many friends do you have, O Muhammad? Li sadiqani. Sadiq, sadiqani. I have two friends. Number eight, going across. Kam taliban jadidan fi faslikum. How many new students, taliban jadidan fi faslikum, are in your classroom? Yani plural, you all's classroom. Yani fi faslina, we change faslikum to faslina because in the question it's addressed to you all. In the answer, we're speaking on behalf of ourselves in the first person. Fi faslina talibani jadidani. Talibani, two students. Jadidani, new students. Notice that jadidani is dual like the man'ut. The not and the man'ut have to agree in number. Number nine. Kam masjidan fi qaryatika ya Zakariya. How many masjids are in your village, or your city, your town, O Zakariya? Kam masjidan fi qaryatika ya Zakariya. Fi qaryatina, or fi qaryati, in my village, Zakariya is speaking on behalf of himself, fi qaryati masjidani, masjidani. In my village are two masjids. Number 10, going across, kam funduqan, funduq, funduqan. How many hotels في هذا الشارعي, are in this street. How many hotels are in this street? في هذا الشارع فندقاني. فندق, فندقاني. In this street there are two funduks. Number 11, last sentence. كم أخن لك يا سعاد. How many brothers do you have, O Su'ad? Su'ad is a female's name. كم أخن لك, feminine, يا سعاد. Answer, لي أخواني. يعني أخ here is a little bit irregular. So we see that the dual of it is not أخاني, but it's what? أخواني. يعني الأخ, there's a note there that says مثنى, يعني the مثنى, مثنىه, the مثنى of أخ is أخواني. أخواني. And this is, يعني, we don't want to go into the details because originally the word أخ, يعني, it has three root letters, حمزة, خاء, and واو. The واو comes back when you make the مثنى form. Same thing happens with أب, يعني, originally its root has واو, ألف, باء, and واو. So in the مثنى form you see أب become أبواني. The واو comes back, inshallah. Okay, this is the end of the first exercise. Let's see if we can take one more at least, or two. Second exercise, bottom half of page 101, اقرأ واكتب. This exercise, there are 10 sentences. Basically, you have to read and write, and of course, anytime we have an exercise that says read and write, you also have to translate, right? You have to translate. Okay, اقرأ واكتب, read and write. Number one, خالد له ابناني وبنتاني. Okay, I'm going to join lahu to ibnani. Khalidun lahu ibnani wa bintani. Khalid has ibnani, two sons, wa bintani, and two daughters. Number two. Fi hadhal bayti ghurfatani kabiratani. Yani, in this house there are ghurfatani, two rooms, كبيرتاني, two big rooms. Notice that كبيرتاني, the adjective is dual like the منعوت, that is the word that is describing. غرفتاني كبيرتاني. Number three, فاطمة لها طفلان صغيران. فاطمة لها, she has طفلاني, two children, صغيراني, two small children or infants. Number four, لي عيناني وأذناني ويداني ورجلاني. I have two eyes, two ears, two hands and two feet. Ainani is the plural of ain. Ain became ainani. Udhun became udhunani. Yed became yadani. And rijlun became rijlani. Turn to page 102. Continuation of exercise number 2, sentence number 5. Read, write and translate. في هذا الحي مدرستان. في هذا الحي مدرستان. In this حي, in this neighborhood or district, there are مدرستان, two schools. Again, the تاء مربوطة in مدرستون became تاء مفتوحة, and then you add آني, مدرستان. Number 6, صلاة الفجر ركعتاني. The prayer of the dawn is two units, two raka. Number 7. للبيتي مفتاحاني. للبيتي مفتاحاني. يعني مفتاحاني is the dual of مفتاح. يعني add اني مفتاح, مفتاحاني. For the house, there are two keys. Yani, the house has two keys. Number 8. لمن هاتاني البقرتاني. Answer, huma lil fallahi. Liman, to whom belong? Hatani al-baqaratani. Yani, these two cows. To whom belong these two cows? Huma, the two of them, belong to the farmer, al-fallah. Notice that we use hatani instead of hadani because al-baqara is feminine. So, hatani is the rule of hadhihi. Just as hadani is the rule of hadha. Hatani al-baqaratani. Again, baqara originally ends with ta-mabuta. The ta-mabuta becomes ta-maftuha. And then you add ani, becomes baqaratani. Huma lil-fallahi. Number 9. Ahadani al-tabibani min inkaltarra. With shadda on the ra before the ending alif. Inkaltarra. Ahadani al-tabibani. Are these two doctors from England? لا هما من فرنسا. No, هما, the two of them, the two doctors, are from France. Number 10, last sentence. في قريتي مسجدان صغيران. In my village or town are two small masjids. Two small masjids. Okay, the next exercise requires us to do some work. It's not just reading and writing, but a little more work. We have to fill in some words, keeping in mind that after the kam, the word kam, the tamyiz, whatever word you're going to put in there that's going to make sense, the tamyiz has to be singular and it has to be mansoob. If it doesn't end with tharmabuta, the fatatain of the tamyiz after kam should also add an extra alif when you write it out, okay? The instruction says, exercise number 3, اقرأ الأمثلة الآتية. Read the following examples. They give us 3 examples. Read the following examples. ثم ضع, then put, في الفراغ, in the blank spaces, فيما يلي, and what follows? تمييزا. Here's the word تمييز that I talked about. The word that comes after come is called its تمييز. Tamyiz means the distinguishing word. It distinguishes what you are asking about. How many what? How much what? Yani after come, there's a word that tells you what you're asking how many of. That word is called the tamyiz. So they said here, read the following examples and then put in the blank space and what follows? Tamyiz and a tamyiz for come. Wadbut akhirahu. And make exact or precise its ending. Meaning they want to make sure you know that it has to be mansoob with fatatain and also that it has an alif if it is not ending with ta marbuta. Okay, so 3 examples they gave us. Kam ukhtan laka. Kam ukhtan laka. How many sisters do you have? Alright, see the example here. Notice the word, the tamyiz after kam. Ukhten is singular, ukht, and it's also mansub with fatatain. And also, because we're talking about people, we use laka, not indaka. Notice the next example. Kam qalaman indaka. Kam qalaman indaka. How many pens do you have? Notice that the tamyiz of kam is singular, and it's mansub, and it's followed by an alif, because it doesn't end with thermobuta. And then because we're not talking about people, we're talking about things, then we said, not laka, but indaka. How many pens do you have? And the third example, kam sayaratan fil jami'ati. How many cars are at the university? And again here, we see that the tamyiz of kam is singular, sayara, and it's mansub with fatatain. But because it ends with tarmabuta, there's no alif following it. So there are 3 things, 3 examples, and each one is telling us something. In the first example, they're telling us when you're talking about people, kam ukhtan, you don't say indaka, you say laka. In the second example, they tell us when you're talking about things, kam qalaman indaka, you don't say laka, but you say indaka for things. And for people, you say laka. And the third example is telling us that if the tamyiz of kam ends with tarmabuta, do not write an extra alif after the fatatain. The Tanween Fatah. 3 examples reminding us of 3 important rules. First one, number 1. Kam something indaka. Okay, kam beiten endeka. How many houses are with you? We know that it has to be a thing because it didn't say leka. So kam beiten endeka, kam qalaman endeka, kam kitaban endeka, all of that would be fine. Number two, kam blank leka. Now we know it has to be people because leka, right? Kam uchten leka, kam achen leka, and so on. How many sisters do you have? How many brothers do you have? Number three, kam blank fi hadha shari. Here this one is open. We didn't use enda or laka, so it can be anything. Kam funduqan fi hadha shari. Or kam masjidan fi hadha shari. How many hotels or how many masjids are in this street? Number four, kam blank fi qariyatika. Yani how many such and such are in your qariya, in your village or town. Okay, we can say kam madrasatan fi qariyatika. How many schools? Or kam masjidan fi qariyatika. How many masjids? Number five, kam blank fi faslikum. How many blank are in you all's classroom? Okay, kam maktaban. How many desks? Fi faslikum. Kam nafidatan. How many windows are in you all's classroom? Kam baban. How many doors are in your classroom? Yani, is there a door to go in and another door to go out? And so on. Or fire exit. Number six. Kam blank fissanati. Yani, how many kam aidan fissanati? Yani, how many years are in a year? Or you could say kam shahran. How many months are in a year? Kam yani yawman. How many days are in a year? Number seven. Kam blank liddarrajati. Kam, how many wheels does a bicycle have? Kam ajalatan. Notice that there's no alif written after the ta mabuta in ajalatan. Kam ajalatan liddarrajati. How many wheels does the bicycle have? Number eight. Kam blank fi ghurfatika. Yani, how many? Kam nafidatan. How many windows are in your room? Or it could be kam sariran, if it was your bedroom, right? Kam sariran, how many beds are in your room? Okay, exercise number four. Again, this exercise number three was designed to make us to recognize that the tamyiz of kam has to be singular and it has to be mansub. And also that the fatatain in that tamyiz, which is going to take two fatta because it's always going to be mansub, so it has to take two fatta. It's going to be followed by an alif, an extra alif, unless the word ends with ta marbuta, or the other exception that we mentioned previously, which is not applicable in this lesson. Number four, the instruction says, hawwil al-mubtada'a fi kullin min al-jumali al-atiyati ila muthanna, with shadda on the noon. Hawwil, convert or transform, al-mubtada'a, the subject of the sentence, fi kullin min al-jumali al-atiyati, in each of the following sentences, transform it ila, the mubtada, transform it ila muthanna, transform it into the dual form. They gave us an example. Mithal, hadha, that's the mubtada, kitabun, that's the khabar, this is a book. Now we want to change hadha to dual, hadhani, then the khabar also has to change, kitabani. Okay, this is a simple transferring of the yani ism ishara, the mubtada of the sentence, from its singular form to the dual form. Keeping in mind that if it's masculine hadha, the dual is going to be hadhani. But if it's feminine hadhihi, the dual is going to be hatani. Okay, so keep that in mind when you start changing these sentences. Okay, number one, bottom of page 102, hadha qalamun, this is a pen. It's dual, hadhani qalamani, these are two pens. Number two, hadhihi, feminine, mistaratun, this is a ruler. Dual, hatani mustaratani, these are two rulers. Turn to page 103, top of the page, number three, hadha talibun, this is a student. Dual, hadhani talibani, these are two students. These are two students. Number four. هذه feminine. طالبة. This is a female student. Dual. هاتان طالبتان. These are two female students. Number five. هذا الرجل. That's a بدل construction. هذا الرجل. هذا is the مبتدا. الرجل is the بدل. And مدرس is the خبر. هذا الرجل مدرس. This man is a teacher. Dual. هذان الرجلان مدرسان. These two men are two teachers. Number six. هذا الطالب. This is a better construction as well. هذا الطالب من الهندي. This student is from India. Dual. هذان الطالبان. These two students are من الهندي, from India. Number seven. هذه. This is a feminine. هذه الساعة. This watch is من الياباني, from Japan. Feminine. هذه. Okay. So the feminine dual of هذه is هاتان الساعتان من الياباني. These two watches are from Japan. Number eight. هذه السيارة. Feminine again. هذه السيارة للمدير. This car belongs to the principal or manager or director. Feminine. Dual. هاتان السيارتان. With شد on the air. السيارتان للمدير. These two cars belong to the مدير. Number nine. لمن هذا المفتاح. To whom belongs this key? لمن هذان المفتاحان. مفتاح مفتاحان. To whom belong these two keys? Number 10. لمن هذه الملعقة. To whom belongs this spoon? This is a feminine word. هذه, right? الملعقة. لمن هاتان الملعقتان. ملعقة ends with ثرمبوتة. We have to change it to a تاء مفتوحة. When we write out this word, remember we have to change it to تاء مفتوحة and then add the suffix آني. ملعقتان. Okay, so this exercise was primarily designed to make us to recognize the duals for the اسم إشارة هذا and هذه. يعني that it becomes هذاني and هاتاني. Exercise number 5. يعني also is a very brief exercise, so we can easily do this one. اقرأ الكلمات الآتية واكتبها مع ضبط أواخرها. اقرأ الكلمات الآتية. Read the following words. واكتبها. And write them with ضبط, making exact or precise أواخرها, their endings. Okay, so meaning that the vowel on the end, you have to make sure that you know that dual words end with كسرة. يعني آني. Okay, just read the word, write it, and translate it as well. كلباني. يعني is the plural of كلب, two dogs. مكتباني. Two desks or offices is the plural of مكتب. قميصاني. Two shirts is the plural of قميص. أخواني. Two brothers is the plural of أخ. منديلاني. Two handkerchiefs is the plural of منديل. مسطرتاني. Two rulers is the plural of مسطرة, with تاء مربوطة on the end. أختاني. Two sisters is the plural of أخت. امرأتاني. Two women is the plural of امرأة, with تاء مربوطة on the end. If it has ألف لام, it becomes المرأة. Okay, exercise number 6, and this is the last exercise, and it's also a brief exercise. It just says, ثني الكلمات الآتية. الكلمات الآتية. Make dual the following words. ثني. Make it مثنى. يعني make the word dual, مثنى. Okay, we're going to read. and we're going to translate, and we're going to also make them dual. And you should also have written them out. Sayyaratun, sayyaratani. Remember when you write it, the ta marbuta has to become ta maftuha, and then you add ani. A car. Tabibatun, a female doctor. Tabibatani. Waladun, a child. Waladani. Next line. Lugatun, a language. Lugatani. Sadiqun, a friend. Sadiqani. Tajirun, a merchant. Tajirani. Next line. Mil'aqatun, a spoon. Mil'aqatani. Mudarrisun, a teacher. Mudarrisani. Babun, a door. Babani. Ismun, a name. Ismani. Hada, this or this is. Hadani. Hadihi, this or this is feminine for things near. Hatani. Turn to page 104. Al-Kalimat al-Jadida. That was the last exercise. By the way, that exercise is primarily designed to practice formulating the muthanna, the dual, from words which are masculine and words which are feminine. Feminine words, remember, if they end with ta marbuta, the ta marbuta has to be changed to ta maftuha. And also, yani, if a word does not end with ta marbuta, when you make it dual, yani, just remember that you just add ani. If it ends with ta marbuta, you have to change the ta marbuta and then add the ani. Al-Kalimat al-Jadida, going across from the top line, going from right to left. Kam means how much or how many. Al-Aidu means the day of celebration, like Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. Al-Ajalatu means the wheel, like the wheel on a car or a bicycle. Ajalatun is its plural. Second line, Al-Hayyu means a neighborhood or a district, any certain area of the city. Its plural is Ahya'un. Going across, Ar-Riyalu, this is a currency, Riyal, like in Saudi Arabia, and it's a unit. Something like, Riyal is like a dollar, but not equal to a dollar. Maybe it's equal to 25 cents, actually a quarter of a dollar. Yani 3 point something Riyals equal $1. Now, the plural of Ar-Riyal is Riyalat. Going down to the last line, Ar-Raka'atu, with sukun on the calf. Ar-Raka'atu means a unit of prayer, one raka. Its plural is raka'atun, with the calf here taking fatah. Al-Mustaratu means the ruler. Its plural is masatiru. Masatiru, like masajidu and makatibu, on the pattern of mafailu, mamnu min as-sarf. So it doesn't take tanween. This is the end of this lesson. Alhamdulillah, it's a short lesson. Hopefully everybody had a chance to do it for homework before we went over it today, so you have a chance to check your work and see how well you did. And I'm sure that if you're doing your homework and you're doing this on a daily basis and you're spending some time every day, that's why we break up the suggested homework schedule into days of the week, so that you can do a little bit every day and still be able to complete everything by the end. I hope that if everybody is doing your homework and studying Arabic on a daily basis, at least yani 15, 20 minutes, half an hour every day. Yani, I don't think that that's too much for anybody, no matter what your schedule is, to find 15 or 20 minutes or half an hour every day. If you do it every day, then yani, what might otherwise be difficult becomes much, much more easy. Okay, this is the end of what we wanted to cover for today. Inshallah, for homework next week, please review this lesson particularly and come prepared for the next two lessons. 19 and 20 are going to be dealing with the numbers from 1 to 10. Okay, so next week, inshallah, we'll be taking lesson 19, and we'll see whatever we can cover of it. And following that, we'll be dealing with lesson 20. Both of them are dealing with the same subject, that is the numbers from 1 to 10. After that, we're going to have a review, lesson 21. And then the last two lessons are going to be dealing with all the categories of Mamnu and Sarf that we've taken in this course for book 1. So we're just about finished, and we only have two subjects remaining, the numbers from 1 to 10, and the various forms of words that are Mamnu and Sarf, diptotes. Okay, so we're going to stop right here with this, and we're going to take a break. So those who are going to be with us for book number 2 And we're going to take a break for Salat al-Asr. And then after Salat al-Asr at 3 o'clock, we're going to come back for book number 2, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Jazakum Allahu khair wa barakallahu fikum. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, yani, to remember Him. This is very important that we don't forget Allah, that we remember Him. And that's why the dhikr of Allah is so important. Wala dhikru Allahu akbar. Remembering Allah is the first step. Yani, if a person believes in Allah, they have to remember Allah. And then, if we remember Allah, remember, yani, then we must also be thankful to Him. Yani, when you remember Allah, remind yourself of all the favors that He has given to you. So be thankful to Him, not just by words, but by worshipping Him and being obedient to Him, fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. And then, if we are really thankful to Allah, the manifestation of that is how we worship Him. Yani, to worship Him in the best manner. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, to aid us, to support us in remembering Him, and then being thankful to Him, grateful, appreciative for all of His favors and for who He is. Yani, and then manifesting that remembrance and that gratitude in worshipping Him in the best manner. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to supplicate, he used to say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, help me, aid me, assist me to remember You, to be thankful to You, and to worship You in the best manner. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.